The Siege of Antioch, from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, at en.wikipedia.org. The Siege of Antioch took place during the First Crusade in 1097 and 1098. The first siege by the Crusaders against the Muslim city lasted from October 21, 1097 to June 2, 1098. The second siege against the Crusaders who had occupied it lasted from June 7th to June 28th, 1098. Contents. This article contains 9 sections. Section 1. Background. Section 2. Arrival of the Crusaders. Section 3. First Siege. Section 3.1. Famine. Section 3.2. Tatisius departs. Section 3.3. English reinforcements. Section 3.4. Fatimid embassy. Section 4. Capture of Antioch. Section 5. Second siege. Section 5.1. Discovery of the Holy Lands. Section 6. Battle of Antioch. Section 7. Aftermath. Section 8. References. Section 9. Footnotes. Section 9.1. Online resources. The following is an info box which accompanies this article and gives a summary of the main information about the Siege of Antioch to supplement the arrangement of information in this article. Siege of Antioch info box. Part of the First Crusade. Image. The Siege of Antioch from a medieval miniature painting. Date, 20th of October, 1097 to 28th of June, 1098. Location, Antioch. Result, decisive Crusader victory. Belligerents, Crusaders and the Seljuk Turks. Commanders of the Crusaders, Raymond of Toulouse, Godfrey of Bouillon, and Bohemian of Taranto. Commanders of the Seljuk Turks, Yaghisian and Kerbalga. Strength of the Crusaders, 25,000. Strength of the Seljuk Turks, 75,000. Casualties and losses unknown on both sides. Section 1. Background. Antioch had been captured from the Byzantine Empire by the Seljuks only very recently, in 1085. The Byzantine fortifications dated from the time of Justinian I, and they had recently been rebuilt and strengthened. The Seljuks had taken the city through treachery, and the walls remained intact. Since 1088, its Seljuk governor had been Yaghisian. Yaghisian was well aware of the Crusader army as it marched through Anatolia in 1097, and he appealed for help from the neighboring Muslim states, but to no avail. To prepare for their arrival, he imprisoned the Orthodox Patriarch of Antioch, John the Oxite, and exiled the Greek and Armenian Orthodox population, although the Syrian Orthodox citizens were permitted to stay. Section 2. Arrival of the Crusaders. The Crusaders arrived at the Orontes River outside Antioch on October 20, 1097. The three major leaders of the Crusade at this point, Godfrey of Bouillon, Bohemian of Taranto, and Raymond IV of Toulouse, initially disagreed over what to do next. Raymond wanted to make a direct assault, while Godfrey and Bohemian preferred to set siege to the city. Raymond reluctantly acquiesced, and the Crusaders partially encircled the city on October 21st. The city's Byzantine fortifications were strong enough to resist a direct attack, although Yaghisian may not have had enough men to adequately defend the city, and he was relieved and emboldened when the Crusaders did not attack immediately. Bohemian encamped the northeast corner of the city at the Gate of St. Paul. Raymond set his camp further to the west at the Gate of the Dog, and Godfrey placed his troops at the Gate of the Duke, also further to the west, where a bridge of boats was built across the Orontes to the village of Talenki. To the south was the Tower of the Two Sisters, and at the northwest corner, the Gate of St. George, which was not blockaded by the Crusaders, and were used throughout the siege to supply Yagi-Sian with food. On the southern and eastern side of the city was the hilly area known as Mount Silpius, where the citadel and the Iron Gate were located. Section 3. First Siege. By mid-November, Bohemond's nephew, Tancred, had arrived with reinforcements, and a Genoese fleet had sailed into port at St. Simeon, bringing extra food and supplies. The siege dragged on, and in December Godfrey fell ill and food supplies that had been plentiful were running out with the approaching winter. At the end of the month, Bohemond and Robert of Flanders took about 20,000 men and went foraging for food to the south. But while they were gone, Yagi-Sian made a sortie out of the gate of St. George on December 29th and attacked Raymond's encampment across the river at Tellenki. Raymond was able to turn him back, but was not able to capture the city itself. Meanwhile, Bohemond and Robert were attacked by an army under Dukak of Damascus, which had marched north to come to Antioch's aid. Although the Crusaders were victorious here as well, they were forced to retreat to Antioch with little food. The month ended inauspiciously for both sides. There was an earthquake on December 30th and an aurora borealis the next night, and the following week saw such unseasonably bad rain and cold weather that Dukak had to return home without further engaging the Crusaders. Section 3.1. Famine. Due to lack of food, there was a famine in the Crusader camp, killing both men and horses. 1 in 7 men was dying of starvation, and only 700 horses remained. Supposedly, some of the poorer soldiers, the remnants of the People's Crusade, led by Peter the Hermit, called the Taffers, turned cannibal, eating the bodies of dead Turks. Others ate horses, although some knights preferred to starve. Local Christians, as well as the exiled Orthodox Patriarch of Jerusalem, Simeon, now living on Cyprus, attempted to send food, but this did not relieve the famine. Some knights and soldiers began to desert in January of 1098, including Peter the Hermit, although he was quickly found and brought back to the camp by Tancred, his prestige tarnished. Section 3.2. Tatisius departs. In February, the Byzantine general and legate Tatisius, who had remained with the Crusaders as an advisor and a representative of Emperor Alexius I, suddenly left the Crusader army. According to Anna Komnena, who presumably spoke with Tatisius personally, the Crusaders refused to listen to his advice, and Bohemond had informed him that the other leaders were planning to kill him, as they believed Alexius was secretly encouraging the Turks. Bohemond, on the other hand, claimed that this was treachery or cowardice, reason enough to break any obligations and return Antioch to the Byzantines, and he too would leave unless he was allowed to keep Antioch for himself when it was captured. Knowing fully that Bohemond had designs on taking the city for himself, and that he had probably engineered Tatisius's departure in order to facilitate this, Godfrey and Raymond did not give in to his blackmail, but the minor knights and soldiers wanted to recognize his demands, and he gained their sympathies. During these events, Yagi-Sian continued to seek help from his neighbors, and an army under Ridwin arrived at Antioch from Aleppo. Like Dukak before him, he too was defeated at Haram outside Antioch on February 9th. Section 3.3. English Reinforcements. In March, an English fleet led by Edgar Atheling, the proclaimed King of England, arrived at St. Simeon from Constantinople, where Edgar was living in exile. They brought with them raw materials for constructing siege engines, but these were almost lost on March 6th, when Raymond and Bohemond, neither of whom trusted the other enough to deliver the material alone, were attacked on the road back to Antioch by a detachment of Yagi-Sian's garrison. With Godfrey's help, however, the detachment was defeated and the materials were recovered. Although Edgar had been given his fleet and the siege materials by Emperor Alexius, the Crusaders did not consider this to be direct Byzantine assistance. The Crusaders set to work building siege engines, as well as a fort called La Mahomeri, to block the bridge gate and prevent Yagi-Sian attacking the Crusader supply line from the ports of St. Simon and Alexandretta. whilst also repairing the abandoned monastery to the west of the gate of St. George, which was still being used to deliver food to the city. Tancred garrisoned the monastery, referred to in the chronicles as Tancred's Fort, for 400 silver marks, while Count Raymond of Toulouse took control of La Mohammerie. Finally, the Crusader siege was able to have some effect on the well-defended city. Food conditions improved for the Crusaders as spring approached and the city was sealed off from raiders. Image: Robert II of Normandy at the Siege of Antioch, 1097-1098. Section 3.4, Fatimid Embassy. In April, a Fatimid embassy from Egypt arrived at the Crusader camp, hoping to establish a peace with the Christians, who were, after all, the enemy of their own enemies, the Seljuks. Peter the Hermit, who was fluent in Arabic, was sent to negotiate. These negotiations came to nothing. The Fatimids, assuming the Crusaders were simply mercenary representatives of the Byzantines, were prepared to let the Crusaders keep Syria if they agreed not to attack Fatimid Palestine, a state of affairs perfectly acceptable between Egypt and Byzantium before the Turkish invasions. But the Crusaders could not accept any settlement that did not give them Jerusalem. Nevertheless, the Fatimids were treated hospitably and were given many gifts, plundered from the Turks who had been defeated in March, and no definite agreement was reached. Section 4. Capture of Antioch. Image: The Massacre of Antioch by Gustave Doré. The siege continued, and at the end of May 1098, a Muslim army from Mosul under the command of Kerboga approached Antioch. This army was much larger than the previous attempts to relieve the siege. Kerboga had joined with Ridwan and Dukak, and his army also included troops from Persia and from the Ortuquids of Mesopotamia. The Crusaders were luckily granted time to prepare for their arrival, as Kerboga had first made a three-week-long excursion to Edessa, which he was unable to recapture from Baldwin of Boulogne, who had taken it earlier in 1098. The Crusaders knew they would have to take the city before Kerbog arrived if they had any chance of survival. Bohemian secretly established contact with Feroz, an Armenian guard who controlled the Tower of the Two Sisters, but had a grudge with Yaghi Sien, and bribed him to open the gates. He then approached the other Crusaders and offered to let them in, through Feroz, if they would agree to let him have the city. Raymond was furious and argued that the city should be handed over to Alexius, as they agreed when they left Constantinople in 1097, but Godfrey, Tancred, Robert, and the other leaders, faced with a desperate situation, gave in to his demands. Despite this, on June 2nd, Stephen of Blois and some of the other Crusaders deserted the army. Later on the same day, Feroz instructed Bohemond to feign a march out to meet Kerbog, and then to march back to the city at night and scale the walls. This was done. Feroz opened the gates and a massacre followed. The remaining Christians in the city opened the other gates and participated in the massacre themselves, killing as much of the hated Turkish garrison as they could. The Crusaders, however, killed some of the Christians along with the Muslims, including Feroz's own brother. Yaghi Sien fled, but was captured by some Syrian Christians outside the city. He was decapitated, and his head was brought to Bohemond. Section 5. Second Siege. Image: The Ramparts of Antioch climbing Mons Silpius during the Crusades. By the end of the day on June 3rd, the Crusaders controlled most of the city, except for the citadel, which remained in the hands of Yaghi's son, Shams Abdallah. John the Oxite was reinstated as patriarch by Admir of Le Puy, the papal legate, who wished to keep good relations with the Byzantines, especially as Bohemond was clearly planning to claim the city for himself. However, the city was now short on food, and Kerboga's army was still on its way. Kerboga arrived only 2 days later, on June 5th. He tried, and failed, to storm the city on June 7th, and by June 9th, he had established his own siege around the city. More crusaders had deserted before Kubalga arrived, and they joined Stephen of Blois in Tarsus. Stephen had seen Kubalga's army encamped near Antioch, and assumed all hope was lost. The deserters confirmed his fears. On the way back to Constantinople, Stephen and the other deserters met Alexius, who was on his way to assist the crusaders, and did not know they had taken the city and were now under siege themselves. Stephen convinced him that the rest of the crusaders were as good as dead, and Alexius heard from his reconnaissance that there was another Seljuk army nearby in Anatolia. He therefore decided to return to Constantinople rather than risking battle. Section 5.1. Discovery of the Holy Lance. Meanwhile in Antioch, on June 10th, an otherwise poor and insignificant monk by the name of Peter Bartholomew came forward claiming to have had visions of St. Andrew, who told him that the Holy Lance was inside the city. The starving crusaders were prone to visions and hallucinations, and another monk, named Stephen of Valence, reported visions of Christ and the Virgin Mary. On June 14th, a meteor was seen landing in the enemy camp, interpreted as a good omen. Although Admar was suspicious, as he had seen a relic of the Holy Lance in Constantinople, Raymond believed Peter. Raymond of Aguilers, William, Bishop of Orange, and others began to dig in the Cathedral of St. Peter on June 15th, and when they came up empty, Peter went into the pit, reached down, and produced a spear point. Raymond took this as a divine sign that they would survive, and thus prepared for a final fight rather than surrender. Peter then reported another vision, in which St. Andrew instructed the Crusader army to fast for 5 days, although they were already starving, after which they would be victorious. Bohemian was skeptical of the Holy Lance as well, but there is no question that its discovery increased the morale of the Crusaders. It is also possible that Peter was reporting what Bohemian wanted, rather than what St. Andrew wanted, as Bohemian knew from spies in Kerbaga's camp that the various factions frequently argued with each other, and they would probably not work together as a cohesive unit in battle. On June 27th, Peter the Hermit was sent by Bohemian to negotiate with Kerbaga, but this proved futile in battle with the Turks, and thus unavoidable. Bohemian drew up 6 divisions. He commanded one himself, and the other 5 were led by Hugh of Vermandois and Robert of Flanders, Godfrey, Robert of Normandy, Admire, and Tancred and Gaston IV of Béarn. Raymond, who had fallen ill, remained inside to guard the citadel with 200 men, now held by Admin im Merwan, an agent of Gerbaga. Section 6. Battle of Antioch. Image. Capture of Antioch by Bohemian of Tanente in June 1098. On Monday, June 28th, the Crusaders emerged from the city gate, with Raymond of Aguilers carrying the Holy Lance before them. Kerbaga hesitated against his general's pleadings, hoping to attack them all at once rather than one division at a time. He pretended to retreat to draw the Crusaders to a rougher terrain, while his archers continuously pelted the advancing crusaders with arrows. A detachment was dispatched to the crusader left wing, which was not protected by the river, but Bohemian quickly formed a 7th division and beat them back. The Turks were inflicting many casualties, including Admar's standard bearer, and Kerbaga set fire to the grass between his position and the crusaders, but this did not deter them. They had visions of 3 saints riding along with them, led by St. George, St. Demetrius, and St. Maurice. The battle was short. When the crusaders reached Kerbaga's line, Dukak deserted, and most of the other Turks panicked. Soon, the whole Muslim army was in retreat. Section 7. Aftermath. As Kerbaga fled, the citadel under command of Admin Ib Merwan finally surrendered, but only to Bohemian personally, rather than to Raymond. This seems to have been arranged beforehand without Raymond's knowledge. As expected, Bohemian claimed the city as his own, although Adhemar and Raymond disagree. Hugh of Vermandois and Baldwin of Hainaut were sent to Constantinople, although Baldwin disappeared after an ambush on the way. Alexius, however, was uninterested in sending an expedition to claim the city this late in the summer. Back in Antioch, Bohemond argued that Alexius had deserted the crusade and thus invalidated all their oaths to him. Bohemond and Raymond occupied Yagyesian's palace, but Bohemond controlled most of the rest of the city and flew his standard from the citadel. It is a common assumption that the Franks of northern France, the Provençals of southern France, and the Normans of southern Italy considered themselves separate nations, and that each wanted to increase its status. This may have had something to do with the disputes, but personal ambition is more likely the cause of the infighting. Soon an epidemic broke out, possibly of typhus, and on August 1st, the legate Adhemar died. In September, the leaders of the crusade wrote to Pope Urban II, asking him to take personal control of Antioch, but he declined. For the rest of 1098, they took control of the countryside surrounding Antioch, although there were now even fewer horses than before, and Muslim peasants refused to give them food. The minor knights and soldiers became restless, and starvation began to set in, and they threatened to continue to Jerusalem without their squabbling leaders. In November, Raymond finally gave in to Bohemond for the sake of continuing the crusade in peace and to calm his mutinous, starving troops. At the beginning of 1099, the march was renewed, leaving Bohemond behind as the first prince of Antioch, and in the spring the siege of Jerusalem began under the leadership of Raymond. The success of Antioch was too much for Peter Bartholomew's skeptics. Peter's visions were far too convenient and too martial, and he was openly accused of lying. Challenged, Peter offered to undergo ordeal by fire to prove that he was divinely guided. Being in biblical lands, they chose a biblical ordeal. Peter would pass through a fiery furnace and would be protected by an angel of God. The crusaders constructed a path between walls of flame. Peter would walk down the path between the flames. He did so, and was horribly burned. He died after suffering in agony for 12 days. There was no more said about the Holy Lance, although one faction continued to hold that Peter was genuine, and that he was indeed the true Lance. The siege of Antioch quickly became legendary, and in the 12th century, it was the subject of the Chanson d'Antioch, a Chanson de Geste in the Crusade cycle. There are references available in the written form of this article. Please be sure to verify information found on Wikipedia using the references provided or cross-referencing the information yourself. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the GNU Free Documentation License, available at www.gnu.org/copyleft/fdl.html.